I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, April 20th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. How will governments know when it's safe to reopen after the coronavirus? Without data, it's almost impossible to make that call. And in the absence of widespread testing, some are looking to AI to inform those decisions. Our digital science editor, Daniela Hernandez, will join us to tell us more about it after the break.
I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we've been going through this pandemic, there have been a bunch of things happening in parallel. On the one hand, people are doing everything they can to figure out how the virus is spreading. They're trying to mitigate it from spreading, telling people to stay indoors, wear masks, all those sorts of things. And health officials are also working to find a cure for it so that we can all go back to normal. One of the ways that tech companies and health insurers have been trying to do this is by utilizing artificial intelligence, AI. Our digital science editor, Daniela Hernandez, has been looking into this, and she joins us now. Daniela, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So one of the big questions is where testing stands at this point. How are they using AI right now to try to fill in the gaps with testing?
Right. So since the pandemic started and came to the U.S., our testing capabilities have lagged. And so it's made it difficult for policymakers, for researchers, for clinicians, for everybody essentially to track where exactly the coronavirus is striking in the US, and also to help us understand like where the areas that are most at risk are. And so because testing is still not reaching optimal levels, people are trying to assess risk and where it might be safe eventually to reopen economies safely in a data-driven way. And so policymakers, researchers, health systems are looking at alternative forms of data, alternative being because it's not testing data and it's not necessarily tracing, contact tracing data either. So they're looking at medical records from, you know, past conditions, responses to respiratory illnesses like the flu, complications, demographics, and other things that affect our health that we don't typically think of as health related, like what zip code we live in, what socioeconomic background we have. These things really do affect our health because they affect our access to it and our health throughout our lives. And so they're mining that information to try to come up with insights about who at-risk populations are and where they should deploy already scarce resources to get ahead of the spread.
Do we have any positive examples of that around the country, like places where they've used AI to try to figure this out?
Well, so I spoke with one company that I mentioned in the story called Kinza. They make a smart thermometer that tracks, you know, as all thermometers do, our body temperature. So because one of the symptoms of COVID-19 and other respiratory illnesses is a spike in temperature, they think that they can use this information to basically alert public health officials, governments, earlier than you would actually, like, you know, maybe have a positive test to help them figure out like where these hotspots are. So they say that their data shows that like across the country, like they were able to see in their data abnormal spikes in temperatures that didn't correlate to, or were different than what they were seeing historically at other points. And so one of the things that governments down in Florida are doing is, like, you know, deploying some of these thermometers to communities that are at risk. So homes that have healthcare workers or people with pre-existing conditions or that live in large households that might be at more risk of complications, but also being super spreaders. And so the data are early. They haven't been validated, which is one of the criticisms that scientists have. Like, they think that this information is useful, but that we should keep in mind that the data aren't perfect and that previous attempts to use AI in medicine have met with problems because the data are incomplete. And this virus is so new that we just know very little compared to other diseases about how it works, how it manifests, complications, et cetera.
One of the other examples that you had in your story that I thought was really interesting is and speaking of, like, specifically targeting at-risk communities, you had an example of in your story of a group, I think in Oklahoma, that was reaching out to people they thought could be potentially of higher risk. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So this healthcare provider that's based in Oklahoma contracts with employers to provide their employees and their dependents with healthcare services. So think about, like, boutique clinics kind of settings, right? And so they use an artificial intelligence system engineered by a different company to look through data that includes outcomes, ER visits, socioeconomic data, zip codes. And so they use these data to train an algorithm to basically pick out who they thought would be at greatest risk if they were to contract COVID-19. So these are not patients with COVID-19 currently, but patients who would maybe end up in the hospital or in an ICU on a ventilator because of their previous health history, as well as these other factors that I mentioned. So nurses that were employed by this CARE ATC organization, they got on the phone and called these patients to tell them, hey, you know, you may be at greater risk here. These are the things you should do, you know, hygiene, social distancing, and then also inform them about, like, what they should do if they were able to, if they were experiencing symptoms. So the idea there is prevention, right? So, like, you want these people to remain out of the hospital and healthy so that they don't overwhelm the healthcare system and possibly infect other people.
You mentioned that there is some criticism about AI and whether it can work in this setting and the lack of data, especially, and whether the data is all kind of matches up to be. What do we still need to have in order to make AI work at a larger scale?
Well, I think it's a problem that plagues AI generally. Is just machines are really good at parsing information that is complete, right? Like, you think of the classic example of a machine learning to pick out a cat. Like, you can feed it tons of cat photos and it'll learn to pick out cats. If you show a photo of a cat in a slightly different scenario, like, it might not be able to do that. And so take that very, very simple example and extrapolate it to a disease that is multifaceted. We don't have immunity. We don't know how it works really. And things become really, really complicated. And you have these other mitigating factors that also are at play that may or may not be in these algorithms, like people's behavior. Are they going out every day? Are they, you know, not washing their hands properly? Are they touching their faces too much? There's just all these little nuances of human behavior that just even the best algorithm can't pick out. And then just in terms of the disease, like, there's a lot of people who never experience symptoms or who are not experiencing symptoms now. And so when you are doing symptom surveys or you're doing temperature readings, these things might not pick those people up, right? And so you might be undercounting, even though you're doing your very best.
You wrote about a group in Israel that's working right now to feed those AI systems, right?
Right, that's right. So they're sending out symptom surveys to Israeli residents, and so they're not just using the symptom data, but they also are asking people whether they themselves have tested positive for COVID-19 or been in contact with somebody who has. So sort of try to like get at that question of, even if you're not symptomatic, do you have a COVID-19 diagnosis? And so they're trying to mitigate some of those unknowns by asking people about the testing.
And that's really important because we've talked about this before on the show. The issue of contact tracing is really important to be able to know if someone has had it and maybe doesn't have symptoms, what those symptoms are and who else they've been in contact with. So I think there we've talked about some big companies that are working and trying to use AI to collaborate or to connect that data with contact tracing, right?
That's right. And the scientists I talked to said, again, like there's great promise in these AI systems to help. But really, really, the gold standard is testing and then massive amounts of contact tracing. We saw that working relatively well in Asia. It hasn't worked so well here, because we don't have that first step, the testing.
That is the big question, if we can get this to work. Digital science editor Daniela Hernandez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
By the way, if you're interested in learning more about how researchers are using AI to try to find a cure for the coronavirus, we have a whole other podcast for you, The Future of Everything. The latest episode is all about how scientists are using AI to speed up drug research that would otherwise take years. That's The Future of Everything, available wherever you get your podcasts. And a little housekeeping note, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us later this week to share her favorite tips and solutions. We are still taking your work from home tech stories and questions. You can call us and leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.